The Word of God has been set aside. It's been set aside by this world. It's been set aside by individuals. Dear believer, has God's Word been set aside by you? Maybe not intentionally, but it has. We are to love the Word. We're not to loathe that which God has provided for our sustenance. The Israelites despised this manna. They despised this manna. They despised the workers of God as well. As people speak against God, but they also speak against Moses.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, and I'm delighted to welcome you to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need. Today, and we thank you for joining with us as we let the Bible speak. We have been considering John's Gospel, chapter 3, the account of Nicodemus coming to the Savior at night, and the Savior instructs this religious man of his need for the new birth. The Word of God tells us in John chapter 3, the verse 7, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." The Lord Jesus Christ instructs Nicodemus, and he teaches him the simplicity of his gospel, a gospel that is centered upon Christ himself. And in verse 15, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Today, are you trusting in the gospel of Christ? Is your heart rejoicing because you have a Savior who was lifted up upon the cross? A Savior who suffered and died to redeem you from your sin? Oh, if you know not Christ, consider the Word of God today. Consider your sin.
Numbers chapter 21 and the verse 4, the Word of God says, speaking of the children of Israel, "And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." Amen. And we'll turn back to John's Gospel, chapter 3, and the verse number 14 and 15. And we read again there, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. Children of Israel, having left Egypt and finding themselves in the wilderness, often complained about that particular experience. They lost sight often of what the Lord had done for them in Egypt, what the Lord had done at the Red Sea and on other occasions. They lost sight of the sovereignty of God in their situation, that God himself was in control. They were guided by that pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. But yet they complained and they became discouraged in the way. And such a scene is set before us in Numbers chapter 21. We find that the children of Israel complained against the Lord. But we find this complaining taking place after the opening events of this chapter. The Canaanites, which dwell in the south, verse 1, heard of Israel, and they came and fought against Israel and took them prisoners. And they cried unto the Lord and vowed a vow, and the Lord heard them. And the Lord delivered up the Canaanites and destroyed them and their cities. And so I want you to understand what is taking place in chapter 21. There were those who came against the people of God and took them prisoner and fought against them and had, we could say, something of a victory over them. And they looked to the Lord and they vowed a vow that the Lord would deliver them and they would destroy their cities. And the Lord came and delivered them and helped them and freed his people. And then they journeyed again, continuing their journey to the land that God had promised to them. And what happened? Verse 4, the very next verse, God delivered, and then they were discouraged in the way. They were discouraged in the way. Dear believer, there's a lesson for us. We can often be discouraged in the way. We can often be discouraged when we find hardship and difficulty in life. And you may say, well, the children of Israel, they had their pillar of cloud, they had their pillar of fire, they saw the victories of God with their own eyes. They were still discouraged. And how easy it is then for us to be discouraged. We have God's truth. We have the Word of God. That is why the Scriptures are so important to our lives as believers. Because God's truth is there, revealed by him for us and for our good. And we are to stay close to the Word of God. And as we read the Scriptures, as we study the Scriptures, as we pray over the Scriptures, it helps our discouraged hearts. It helps us if we are discouraged in the way. The children of Israel, they were discouraged. And what did they do? They cried against God. And they spake against God, verse 5, and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And as a result, the Lord came and he judged his people. As a result, he sent fiery serpents among the people, and these serpents bit the people of God. And the Scripture tells us much people of Israel died. This is an horrific thing that we see. Imagine serpents and snakes coming into this building tonight. Poisonous snakes coming into this building tonight. What would our reaction be? To get out of here as fast as we could. I think I would be almost trampling over people to get out. I lived in Australia for a while, and snakes are not something that I want to come face to face with. I remember an occasion, one person drove over a dead snake in the national park. They brought that snake as a gift to me. It was in a cloth, and they put the cloth down on my stove and opened the cloth, and there was the snake. And I was not happy. I was not happy. And then later on, they thought it was funny to throw the snake at me. And so they played on my fear of snakes. But we can imagine the scene. Snakes coming in. Not a friendly snake, but snakes that had poison. Snakes that would kill. Snakes that did kill. And around the people of God, there were those who were dying. And they came and they realized what they had done. And they said to Moses, verse 7, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee." They knew their sin. They knew this was a result of their sin. And they cried that the Lord would deliver them. And so this pole was set up, this serpent of brass, that whoever looked upon it would live. And we have a wonderful picture here of the Lord Jesus Christ. This brazen serpent was lifted up above the camp of Israel. It symbolized healing and deliverance. And that serpent was revered by Israel. In 1 Kings 18, we have a record of it. And it was actually being worshipped. It speaks of King Hezekiah. He removed the high places and broke the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it. It was worshipped. But this brazen serpent was not the deliverer God was. This brazen serpent was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is made evident if we move to John's Gospel, chapter 3. We see that in verse 14, the Savior is speaking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus had asked in verse 9, "How can these things be?" And the Savior explains to him that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, Nicodemus, you know about this. You know your history. You're a Pharisee. You're learned in the Word of God. You're learned in the ways and the customs and the history of the people of God. You know what is being mentioned here. Moses lifting up the serpent. He knew that account. And the Savior says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. What is the Savior teaching Nicodemus? That brazen serpent that men had to look to, that the children of Israel had to look to be saved. Look and live. So the Son of Man would be lifted up. And the same thing applied. The serpent being lifted up was a type of Christ. The one to whom they must look to if they are to live. The one who has eternal life. The Savior is the great source of healing for his people. And this is a wonderful thing. A wonderful thing. The new birth can take place because the Savior was lifted up. And so we see this great picture of what happened in Israel, typifying the Lord Jesus Christ. And why was the serpent lifted up? Because of sin. Because of sin. And so tonight I want us to consider sin, the reason Christ was lifted up. The reason Christ was lifted up. And moving into Numbers chapter 21, we see the wicked effect of sin upon mankind. The wicked effect of sin upon mankind. There are a number of things we see here that typify to us what sin is, what sin does to individuals. And I want to focus our attention on this illustration that the Savior gives to Nicodemus. And firstly, we see in this wicked effect of sin upon mankind, they despised God's way. Sin is something that we find within ourselves because of man's fall. We are born in sin and we are shapen in iniquity. We sin because we are sinners. We sin and commit trespasses against God because we are born in sin. And sin affects us in that sin that we have causes us to sin, causes us to trespass against the God of heaven. And so, because they were sinners, they despised God's way. They despised God's way. We see that in verse 5. "And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no bread, neither is there any water." They here were favoring their own way. They desired their own path. The Lord's way for them was too tough. and too difficult and too hard, God had delivered them and God had saved them. And God had performed miracles for them that they had witnessed. But it came to the point that they were so discouraged in the way, and they allowed themselves to be discouraged, that they spake against God. They favored their own way. They were the leaders. They would not have brought themselves into the wilderness. They were the leaders. They would not have took the route that God had directed them to take. But we're reminded in Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned to our own ways. And Scripture speaks about man despising God's way and favoring his own way. We see that in this world. Man favors his own way. Do you favor your own way tonight? When you hear the word of God preached, when you hear the word of God standing out against your sin, whether you profess to be saved or not, the word of God stands out against your sin. Do you desire your own way? Do you favor your own way? Oh, this sin I want to enjoy. This sin I want to indulge in. God says no, but God's way is difficult and God's way is hard, and I don't desire this way at all. I can keep my sin and I can indulge in that sin. Oh, we can favor our own way. We've turned to our own way. Sin makes us desire that sinful way of ourselves, but we see that they also falsified God's way. Notice what they say here. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt? To go into the promised land? No. To die in the wilderness. Why did God bring them out of Egypt? To go into the promised land. To bring his people into the land that he had given them. And what are they saying? Lord, you've brought us into this wilderness to die. You've lied to us. You've deceived us. You've told us something that is untrue. You're to bring us into that land flowing with milk and honey, but we're in a wilderness. And we're going to die despite the miracles, despite seeing the pillar of cloud and fire, despite the Red Sea opening and walking through it to the other side. They said, Lord, you've brought us here to die. They directly challenged God's truth in saying that he was bringing them into the promised land. They were falsifying God's way. They were making him out to be a liar. No life. No life. No loaves. No liquid, to use a bit of alliteration here in verse 5. No life. No loaves and no liquid. That was the accusation against God. No water, no bread, no life. They were going to die. And these accusations still hold true today. There are those who say that God's way is boring, that it is dead, that it has no life, that we do not need the way of God. But yet, God's way is the way of life. Egypt was the place of sin. It was the place of death. The way of the gospel is the way of life. They said there were no bread, no bread. And that was a lie. There was manna provided by God. He provided for his people. And they say as well here, there was no water. No water. But God had also provided water miraculously for them. Evil ignores the truth. The sinful heart ignores the truth. It ignores the truth. What about your sinful heart? Is your sinful heart ignoring the truth of the gospel? Is your sinful heart telling you that you don't need to be saved? That God is a God of love, as men say, and therefore you'll be in heaven regardless. You're not a criminal. You're not in the prisons of this land. You've not committed great sins like taking the life of others. And therefore, Satan and your sinful flesh says all will be well, whether you have Christ or not, because you're a good person. But it ignores the facts. Wickedness and evil and Satan and our sin ignore the facts. God says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And there's a great warning here that sin and our sinful lifestyle, our sinful thoughts, the influence of Satan can influence us against the truth of God. We don't see sin as it is. We don't see sin as that great wickedness. We think sin is a blessing when it is actually a curse. Oh, that we would see things in the right way. They falsified God's way, but they also despised the word of God. They despised the word of God. They loatheth this light bread. That light bread being the manna that was sent from heaven. That manna God provided for his people. And the manna of heaven, it speaks of the word of God. It speaks of the word of God. It reminds us of the scriptures. They detested this diet of manna. And so the flesh does not like that continuous diet of the word of God. They want other things. They desire entertainment. They desire things that are not focused upon the word of God. We see that in churches today. There's a focus upon entertainment, upon singing, not merely the praise of God in worship, but entertaining singing. That's not something that's going to happen here, because I don't think my singing could ever be entertaining. We would have to look at that if we were going to go down that route. But we sing to praise God. We do not sing to entertain ourselves. We sing to praise and worship the God of heaven. That is why we sing. If we hit a few wrong notes, what about our hearts? We're praising God. We're worshiping him. Those few wrong notes, reality, it doesn't matter. It's our heart. Is that praise coming from a heart that is rejoicing and praising the God of heaven? If we were here entertaining and trying to draw people in because of singing and praise and entertainment in that way, then a few wrong notes will definitely matter. It's not going to look good. We should desire to hit the right notes, of course, but sometimes we can struggle. I can struggle. But is that praise the praise of the heart? And you see, the word of God has been set aside. It's been set aside by this world. It's been set aside by individuals. Dear believer, has God's word been set aside by you? Maybe not intentionally, but it has. We are to love the word. We're not to loathe that which God has provided for our sustenance. The Israelites despised this manna. They despised this manna. They despised the workers of God as well. This people speak against God, but they also speak against Moses. You can be sure that those who speak against God and his way and his word, they will speak against those that serve the Lord. And Moses, who had led them, Moses, who had guided them, they spoke against him. And they criticized him. He who followed the command of God, he who was working with God to let them die in the wilderness.
Today's Spurgeon devotional comes from Psalm 30, verse 6. In my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Moab settled on his lees. He hath not been emptied from vessel to vessel. Give a man wealth. Let his ships bring home continually rich freights. Let the winds and waves appear to be his servants, to bear his vessels across the bosom of the mighty deep. Let his lands yield abundantly. Let the weather be propitious to his crops. Let uninterrupted success attend him. Let him stand among men as a successful merchant. Let him enjoy continued health. Allow him with braced nerve and brilliant eye to march through the world and live happily. Give him the buoyant spirit. Let him have the song perpetually on his lips. Let his eye be ever sparkling with joy, and the natural consequence of such an easy state to any man, let him be the best Christian who ever breathed, will be presumption. Even David said, I shall never be moved. And we are not better than David, nor half so good. Brother, beware of the smooth places of the way. If you are treading them, or the way be rough, thank God for it. If God should always rock us in the cradle of prosperity, if we were always dandled on the knees of fortune, if we had not some stain on the alabaster pillar, if there were not a few clouds in the sky, if we had not some bitter drops in the wine of this life, we should become intoxicated with pleasure. We should dream we stand, and stand we should, but it would be upon a pinnacle, like the man asleep upon the mast. Each moment we should be in jeopardy. We bless God then for our afflictions. We thank him for our changes. We extol his name for losses of property, for we feel that had he not chastened us thus, we might have become too secure. Continued worldly prosperity is a fiery trial. Afflictions, though they seem severe, in mercy oft are sent. We thank you for listening to our program today. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, and this is Let the Bible Speak. I shall never be moved. We praise God that the one who repents from sin and trusts in Christ as Savior is one who shall never be moved of the rock of Jesus Christ. Is that you today? Can you say that, yes, my soul is firmly fixed upon the rock Christ Jesus, and I know whatever happens in this life, no man can pluck me from the Father's hand. My salvation is secure. I shall not be moved. That is the confidence that you and I can have as we rest our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work. Thank you for listening, and join us again on Let the Bible Speak. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.